Well, last week we began a new series called God of the Impossible, and Dave Adams introduced the series by reminding us about a story that a lot of us grew up hearing about, the story of of God delivering and doing an impossible thing. It was, if you recall, a 12-year-old or so boy who came face to face with an impossible giant, right? A giant that no one else, not the mighty men, not even the king of Israel, would go against. And yet this 12-year-old boy, as Dave told us last week, boldly took him on by the power of God and defeated him. This series is called The God of the Impossible, and that's what we're thinking about and talking about. And today we want to look at another story like that. You know, the Bible is full of these stories that help us to see how God does great things. I know in my quiet time today, I'm reading through Daniel right now, and I read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you'll remember how the king said, I want you to bow down to this image, and they said, we're not going to bow. I love this. They said, we're not going to bow, and our God's going to deliver us. I love what they said, but they said, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to your idol. And God delivered them. The Bible says the king looked into fiery furnace that killed the people because it was so hot that threw them in. And he looked in there and he didn't see three like he threw in there. He saw a fourth, and he said the fourth one looked like the Son of God. Amazing. Read a few chapters later, I was reading this morning about Daniel. And you know the story of Daniel who they told him once again to bow to this image and three times a day. And he said, I'm not going to do it. And they threw Daniel into the lion's den of hungry lions, and God protected his life. You go through stories like Noah and Abraham and people like Rahab, and all the way through the Bible, you begin to read these stories. There's so many stories. The Bible is full of them. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you haven't been in church in a while. But you remember being in Vacation Bible School or being in Sunday school and hearing stories like this. You maybe, if you're old like me, maybe you remember the flannelgraph, right? If you're a little younger, maybe a picture book. But you can kind of remember what it looked like to hear these stories and realize what God was doing with people around them. Well, that's why we're teaching this series. We're teaching this series because we want to highlight these stories that show God's power to do the impossible. How God can take what seems impossible and do it. And our prayer is that we hope and pray that this breathes life into you. Fact is, the reason we're doing this is because we believe that if God did it then, God can do it now. We believe if God did it for them, he can do it for us. If God did it then, he can do it now. If God did it for them, he can do it for us. And if you're here today without hope, if you're struggling through a situation, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's your marriage, maybe you got a diagnosis that's overwhelming to you from the doctor, maybe it's financial, if you're struggling through some things where you have kind of come up against the wall, we want you to believe and understand today, if God did it then, he can do it now. If he did it for them, he can do it for you. And our prayer is that this series will breathe life back into you today as you hear it. Well, today we read about another impossible situation that God shows up in. If you have a Bible, the book of Judges in the Old Testament is where we are in chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, we read about a guy named Gideon. You may have heard of him before. I'm going to read this first section out of the New Living Translation. You can listen along, and then I'll be back to the New American Standard after that. But I wanted you to hear this because I like how it words it. It says in Judges chapter 6, verse 1, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, in the caves, and in the strongholds. And wherever the Israelites planted their crops, the raiders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying the crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all their sheep, all their goats, all their cattle, and all their donkeys. These enemy hordes coming with their livestock and tents were as thick as the locusts, and they arrived on droves of camels too numerous to count. They stayed into the land until the land was stripped bare. Israelite was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. So the Israelites cried to the Lord for help, and when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. Can you picture this? The Israelites find themselves in a very, very tough place. I mean, the Bible describes this story just as soon as they would have a crop, these raiders would come in and strip their land bare. They had no food to eat. They were running for their lives. They were hiding in the caves. They were running and fearful. The Bible tells us that the reason this occurred, if you heard it in the beginning, it says the Israelites did what is evil in the Lord's sight. I want to remind us today that sin always has a price. That's exactly what happened in the life of the Israelites. They had sinned against the Lord, and even though the Lord had warned them time and time again, they chose their own way and disobeyed God, and sin always has a price. Have you noticed how often we forget this, though? We get in situations, and maybe there's something going on around us, and we get so upset about it. We begin to complain about it. We tell everybody about it. We even blame God for it. When the reality is, many times these situations are caused by our own disobedience. And that's exactly where the Israelites find themselves. But God's gracious. I love this story because God loves them and he cares about them and he hears their prayer and he sends Gideon to rescue them. Look in chapter 6 with me. And you see that when God sends Gideon, he assures Gideon that he's with him. Look at verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, to him, and said, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." How many of you would love it if the angel of the Lord would just appear to you and tell you it's okay? I mean, can you imagine this? I mean, no wonder, right? No wonder he's encouraged. The angel appears, you know, it's scary, right? And then says, "Look, God told me to tell you everything is going to be all right." And so you see this encouragement with him. But Gideon, even though God has appeared to him, still has doubts. Anyone here today struggle with doubts? I know I do. Gideon has doubts, and you see them. Even though the angel of the Lord appeared to him, look at the first doubt he has. The first doubt he has is the question, does God even care? Does he really care about me? Look at verse 13. It says, "Then Gideon said to them, 'Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian.'" Didn't the angel of the Lord just tell him, "Look, God's with you. He's going to deliver you. Everything's going to be okay." And what is his first response? "God, do you even really care?" I don't know about you, but I've done that before. I've been in a situation where I knew the word of the Lord. I understood what God had said. I knew his promises. And yet I felt like God didn't care. Maybe today, within the sound of my voice, there's somebody who feels like that. You know in your mind that God cares. Theologically, you know and believe that God cares. But in your heart, you don't feel like it. The first doubt Gideon had is, "God, do you really care?" The second doubt he had is, "God, do you really know what you're doing? Sending me to do this?" Look at verse 14. "The Lord looked at him and said, 'Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?' God said. And he said to him, 'Oh Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest of my father's house.'" So once again, Gideon has a doubt. He says, "God, not only do I not know if you care, but are you sure? Are you sure you want to send me? Do you really know what you're doing, sending me to be the one? I'm the least. My family's the least. God, really?" The third doubt he has is, "God, will you take care of me when I go?" Now, God's already promised now 2 or 3 times. Fact is, if you write in your Bible, I would encourage you today to do a little Bible reading, Bible study sometime this afternoon between football games. When you take out Judges 6 and 7, and underline or circle every time the Lord promises Gideon that he's going to be with him. He says it over and over. But now Gideon's saying, "God, I don't know if you're going to take care of me." Look at verse 25. He says, "Now on that same night, the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's bull and the second bull of the 7 years old and pull down the altar of Baal that belongs to your father and cut down the Asherah pole that is beside it and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of the stronghold in this orderly manner and take a second bull and offer it as a burnt offering on the wood of the Asherah which you have cut down.' And Gideon took 10 of his men servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night." God, are you going to take care of me? Gideon, this mighty warrior, did what God said, but he didn't do it the way God said. He was still afraid, and so he did it by night. And so he asked the question, God, do you really care? God, do you know what you're doing sending me? God, will you really take care of me? And then the fourth question, the fourth doubt you see Gideon has is, are you sure, God? Are you sure? Look at verse 36. And Gideon said to God, if you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only and it's dry on the ground, then I'll know that you'll deliver Israel through me as you've spoken. And it was so. He rose early the next morning, squeezed the fleece and drained out the water into a bowl. And Gideon said to God, do not let your anger burn against me that I may speak to you once more. Please let me do a test once more with the fleece. And now let it be dry on the fleece and there be dew on the ground. And God did that night, for it was dry only on the fleece and dew was on the ground. Can you see what Gideon's saying? He's saying, God, are you sure? God has said over and over to him, I want you to do this. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to take care of you. And Gideon once again is asking God, are you sure, God? I have to admit, I've had some of those same doubts. Anyone else? I've struggled with those same things, asking God those same questions. I remember when God asked us to move here and start Center Point, I began asking, God, will you take care of my family? How will you do that, God? And I remember saying to God, I don't think I'm ready for this. Are you sure, God? Are you sure you want me to do this? Now, church, listen. I want you to understand today, I want to normalize the normal. Doubts are normal for us. As human beings, we encounter doubts. And that's a normal thing. Listen, having doubts is not the problem. The real problem is not having the doubts. The real problem is living in doubt. There's a big difference. Doubts plague us as they plagued Gideon. We experience those. I know, I think about the story of Peter. Remember when Peter walked on the water? You remember when he's in the boat and Jesus comes and he sees Jesus. And so he says, Jesus, is that you? And Jesus said, yeah, it's me. And Jesus said, come on and go walking on the water. And Peter did. He got out of the boat. Now think about it. When Peter got out of the boat and, you know, he steps out, it's kind of a big high boat, and he lifts his robe and steps out. Do you think he looked at the water when he put his foot down? Well, yeah, any human would look down. I mean, you're not going to just put your foot. Of course he did, but he was really focused on Jesus, who was saying, come walk on the water. He just kind of looked at it. And when he starts walking across the water and everything's going good, and all of a sudden a big old wave hits the side of him and another one hits the side of him, let me ask you, do you think he looked down at the wave when it hit him? Of course he did. You would too. Any of us would. But he was focused on Jesus. His eyes were locked on Jesus. He was trusting in Jesus. He was just glancing at the wave. But do you remember the story? Somewhere in the story, it switched, and he began to focus on his problems and just glance at Jesus, and he began to sink. Listen, it's okay to have doubts. Doubts are normal. It is not okay to live in them. We've got to move past our doubts. We've got to trust in the strength of the Lord, because God is the God of the impossible. I want to remind you that God wasn't asking Gideon to do this on his own, just like he is not asking you to do whatever it is you're going through on your own. He didn't ask David to go kill the giant. He just asked David to step out. I loved that part of Dave Adams' talk last week. I've heard him do that a bunch of times, but I never heard that part before. I loved it. I could envision it. He said David stepped out, and when he stepped out, I don't know if you remember, he said when David stepped out, the men stepped back. I could picture this. And it was just David and Goliath. And Goliath was ranting and raving and talking all sorts of trash. You know, what are you doing sending out a little boy? Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Yada, 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 yada. And David just steps out. Remember this? Remember what happens? I loved what Dave said. Dave said, listen, when David stepped forward, everyone stepped back, and someone was going to die that day. Either David or Goliath. That's what God wants us to do. And when we step out and we trust God, what does God do? God shows up in our life. So we've got to move past our doubts. God was not asking Gideon to do this on his own. He was just asking Gideon to be an instrument that God could work through. And that's all he's asking of us. That's all he's asking of you. That's all he's asking of me today. And if things weren't bad enough for Gideon, God starts changing the odds to make it even more abundantly clear that it's God who does the impossible. Look at chapter 7. says, then Jerubbabel, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose and camped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of the Midians was on the north side of them in the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, look at verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into your hands. For Israel will become prideful, boastful, and say, by my own power God, we have delivered. Now therefore, come, proclaim to the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart to the Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Therefore it shall be that he of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you, but everyone I say to you, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, you shall separate everyone who laps the water with his tongue like a dog laps, and everyone who kneels to drink. Now the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, was about 300 men, but the rest of them knelt to drink the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, look at this, I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped, and I will give the Midianites into your hand, and all the other people will go, and each one to his home. If things weren't bad enough before, I mean, these raiders were coming in, they were stripping the land bare, everybody was afraid. And if things weren't bad enough, the odds weren't great. Gideon had 32,000 farmers, 32,000 fairly untrained men to go against 135,000 Midianite warriors who were scaring the daylights out of everyone. 32,000 to 135,000. And God said, you have too many warriors. Can you imagine what Gideon must have thought? Too many, God, are you kidding me? 32,000, 135,000? I don't think too many is what you meant to say. God said, yes, because if you win, you're going to trust in your own power. And what happens? He says, go to them and say, anyone who wants to leave, leave. And 22,000 men left. Can you imagine being Gideon? 22,000 men left. That only left 10,000. Now the odds were 10,000 to 135,000. And God said, listen, it's still too many. Still too many. It's not going to work out. You're still going to trust in your own. And as you heard me describe what God did, God reduced it from 10,000 to 300. Now there are 300 farmers taking on 135,000 Midianite warriors. Would you say that sounds impossible? What do you think of those odds? 300 against 135,000 warriors. There is no way this could happen. This is a total impossibility. And that's the exact position that God wanted Gideon and the Israelite people to be in. He wanted them to be in a place where only God could do it. Only God could deliver them. And God allowed them to get into that spot. Church, listen, maybe God has you there today. Maybe you're in that spot. Fact is, maybe you're thinking in your mind, things are so hopeless in my marriage, I can't even imagine a solution. I don't think we're going to survive unless God shows up. Or maybe the doctor has said to you, there's no hope unless God brings healing. Or maybe you feel like you just can't go on. You're lonely. You're depressed. You can't make it unless God changes your heart. Or maybe you think you've gone too far. You've just sinned too much. And you're hopeless and helpless unless God shows up today and saves you. This is exactly where God wanted Gideon to be. I want you to understand that when God challenged Gideon to go, Gideon's issue was an issue of doubt and a lack of faith. This was an issue of faith in Gideon's life. And remember, faith is believing that God can and believing that God will. So what did God do? Well, first of all, God tested Gideon's faith. How did he do it? He separated 32,000 down to 10,000, down to 300. And now Gideon had to trust in the Lord. Now God has Gideon exactly where he wants him. He has nowhere else to turn but to God. Makes me kind of think of Moses. You remember the story of Moses who comes out of, goes to the Pharaoh and says, you know, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. And all the things happen. And finally, the death angel comes and the oldest male was killed. And so finally, Pharaoh says, okay, you can go. And they go and they're walking, they're going across the desert. They don't go the normal way. They go the long way. And they're going. And all of a sudden, remember the story, they get up to the Red Sea. And there's the Red Sea really in red, but there's this ocean in front of them, right? And it's an ocean. I mean, think of the last time you were at the beach. It's just a big old ocean in front of them. There's a mountain range on this side. There's a mountain range on this side. And they look back behind them, and all of a sudden the dust is starting to build as Pharaoh's armies and chariots and horsemen are coming after them. Here's where they are. Mountain, ocean, this behind them. They were in an impossible situation. They had to trust God. That's exactly where Gideon is. And maybe that's where God has you today. Maybe you've been depending on yourself and your own resources. As Americans, and I love our country, but as Americans, we have so much we can trust in. I mean, when's the last time you were really hungry? I mean, because if you are, all you got to do is, you know, put it on the credit card or call a family member to bail you out or you know what, if it gets really bad, you can go get food. We have a government that gives it to you. Or when's the last time you really felt in danger? I mean, you thought your family might be killed that night and no one was there to help you. We don't live like that here. And so we trust in ourselves and our own resources. And sometimes God has to allow you and I to get into a spot where we can't look any other way. Just like the Israelites, we couldn't look ahead. They couldn't look on this side. They couldn't look there. The only place they could look was up. Sometimes God lets us get in that spot where all we can do is look up. God tested Gideon's faith. But the second thing I want you to see is God is so gracious. He didn't just test Gideon's faith. God encouraged Gideon's faith. He knew that even though he had promised Gideon over and over and over, I will be with you. I will deliver you. I just want you to be the instrument. I'm going to work through you. Gideon still had doubts. And so God was so gracious to Gideon that he shows him his hand again. Look at verse 9. Now that same night it came about that the Lord came to Gideon and said, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. Isn't that amazing? God said, go, I've already given it to you. But if you're afraid to go down, go with your servant down to the camp, and you will hear what they say, and afterwards your hands will be strengthened, that you may go against the camp. So he took his servant, and he went to the outposts of the army of the camp. And the Midianites and Amalekites and the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as the locusts, and their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand of the seashore. And when Gideon came, behold, a man was talking. He was relating a story to his friend, and he said, I had this dream that a loaf of barley bread tumbled down into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent, and it struck it down so it fell, and it turned it upside down, and the tent lay flat. And his friend said, this is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. And when Gideon heard that account of that dream and that interpretation, he was encouraged. You see what God did? God not only tested Gideon's faith, but God encouraged Gideon's faith. God had made Gideon a promise, and finally Gideon was believing it. Church, look at me today. Maybe God has you here. Maybe there's just one of you. Maybe there's three or four. I don't know. But maybe God has you here today because he wants to encourage your faith. Maybe he wants to tell you what you've already heard, what you've already read, what you grew up hearing your grandma talk about and your pastor talk about, that God has got it. That nothing is impossible, as we just sang, for him. That wherever you are and whatever you're dealing with, God wants you to hear today that he's got it. He wants to encourage you. Because listen, the big secret, when you and I get discouraged, we just quit. And so God was so gracious, he encouraged Gideon. And so what does Gideon do? Gideon finally trusts and obeys God. Church, listen, that's the place that God wanted him all along. God knew that it was going to look mammoth to him. I mean, who would it not look crazy to when you take 32 to 10 to 300 men against 135,000 warriors? Anyone knows that's a crazy position. Anyone knows that where your marriage is. Anyone knows that the reports you got from the doctor. Anyone knows that how you feel seems impossible. God understands. But God had made him a promise, and now God encouraged his heart. And God didn't expect him to do anything. He just expected him to trust in him. He just expected him to step forward, like Moses, to stick that rod in the water and watch the sea separate. He just expected him to obey him. And that's what God expects of you. If you're sitting here today going, look, I can't do it. I can't face my marriage. I can't face this health issue. I can't put another foot in front of the foot that is in me. I can't take another step this week. God's saying, yes, you can, because listen, it's all about me, not about you. All I want you to do is obey me and trust me and believe that I can and I will work in your life. I don't know how many of you grew up in church singing hymns. But I did, and if you grew up like me, you know the words to almost all of them. How many of you are like that? You hear him and you just kind of know him. Good, a lot of you here. You'll know this one that encourages me. It says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. You know this? While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. You know it. The chorus says, trust and obey, for there's no other way that we can be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Do you believe that today? God wants to encourage you in whatever you're dealing with. And he wants you to just simply trust him and obey him. God tested Gideon's faith. God encouraged Gideon's faith. And the third thing we see is that God honored Gideon's faith. You see this in verse 15. I already started to read 15, but follow along. So he hears this interpretation. He bows in worship. He returned to the camp and said, arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands. And he divided the 300 men, can you picture this, into three companies of 100. Wow. He put trumpets and empty pitchers in the hands of all of them with torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look to me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, you shall blow your trumpets. And all around the camp shall yell for the Lord and for Gideon. So Gideon and his 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp, the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew their trumpet. They smashed their pitchers that were in their hands. And 300 companies blew The 300 companies blew their trumpets and broke their pitchers and held their torches in their left hands and their trumpets in their right hand, blowing and crying, a sword for the Lord and a sword for Gideon. And each one stood in his place around the camp. And all the army of Midian ran, crying as they fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, and the Lord set the sword one against another throughout the whole army, and the army fled all the way, and Israel pursued them. And we read in this story that God does the impossible, that these 300 men defeated 135,000 warriors. That's what God does. God honored the faith that Gideon had. He did not expect Gideon to do it, just to trust him and obey him. And as he stepped forward, God blessed it and honored it. Church, look at me and listen today. What impossible situation do you find yourself in today? What are you dealing with? Is it a struggle in your marriage? Is it financial? Is it a health struggle? Is it loneliness? Is it depression? Is it an addiction that you have asked God to deliver you from over and over and over and over and you still feel like you're there? Is it a lost family member? Is it a wayward son or daughter? What are you feeling that is impossible, that if God doesn't show up, it's not going to get done? Let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you believe God is able? Do you believe God is able? You know, that's just a yes or no question. I know when I ask it, I was telling the early hour, I don't know, for the last little while, for some reason, we've got started watching Judge Judy. Anybody watch Judge Judy? Anybody? Oh, just me, okay. I'm the only crazy one here. If you ever watch her, she asks somebody something and they start elaborating and she's like, this is a yes or no answer, right? Have you ever seen her do this? Yes or no? And she's like, no, yes or no. And that's exactly what I'm saying to you today. Think about this for a moment. Do you believe God is able? This is a yes or no answer to this question. Do you believe God is able? Because listen to me. If you don't, he won't. If you don't, he won't. You say, prove that. I would love to. James chapter 1. But he must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Do you believe God can? Do you believe he's able? The second question, as you think about your impossible situation, are you willing to obey God and do things God's way? Now, I don't know what situation you're in. There could be all sorts of reasons for why you're there, but certainly someone within the sound of my voice, and probably more than one someone, has gotten where you've gotten because you didn't obey God in the first place. Are you willing to obey God and do what God says? Are you willing to obey God and do things his way? Because listen to me, God cannot move in your life any other way. God cannot move any other way. Are you willing to obey God and do things God's way? Not to do it your way, not to rely on what your preacher said or your grandma said or what your best friend tells you to do, but what God tells you to do. Are you willing to do it God's way? Are you willing to trust and obey him? And then my third question is, do you have enough faith to act? Do you have enough faith to act? I know what you might be thinking today. I know what I'm thinking. I'm like, no, I don't know if I do. Listen, that's okay. You can ask God. God's the one who gives faith, right? You can ask him and he'll give it to you. But listen, I want you to understand something. If you don't have enough faith to act, nothing's going to happen. If Gideon hadn't had enough faith, he questioned God a whole bunch, right? Almost to the point where you're like, really, dude? How many more times can you ask God to say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Like, I don't think, yeah, I'm going to do it, right? That's exactly where we are. Listen, he questioned God a bunch of times. But in the end, what did he do? He did it. You know, when it comes to Moses, Moses had five arguments against God. No, not me, God. But when it came down to it, he went to Pharaoh. Listen to me. If you don't come down to it, having faith to act, God's not going to be able to do and deliver like you need him to. So let me ask you today, what does God want to do in your life? What does God want to do in your marriage? What does he want to do in your personal life? What's he want to do in your financial life? What does God want to do in your life today? What stronghold does he want to break? What addiction did you come in here with that God wants you to leave without? What is it you would love to see God change? A few weeks ago, I actually sat on that front row and prayed with somebody who's a real good friend of mine who's struggling with an addiction. And I prayed over him and I told God and I asked God to please deliver him. And I looked at my friend and I said, look, this involves you having faith for God to do this. What does God want to break in your life? What addiction does he want to end? Church, let me ask you, what impossible situation does God want to begin to change in your life today? Maybe the thing that God's doing the most in your life is just showing you that you need him. Maybe you've come in here on your own power. Maybe you've been religious. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've tried to be a good person. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you've memorized the Bible. Maybe you know all the stories. And you've tried to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Fact is, here's how you know. If I were to look you in the eye and say, hey, look, when you got to the gates of heaven and God said, why should I let you in? What would you say? And if your answer to that is, well, I think God will let me in because I've been pretty good, or I've tried pretty hard, or I was baptized, or I've gone to church, or my daddy was a deacon. If your answer is anything like that, you know that you're trying to do it on your own. But Todd often tells our college students, and I've heard him before say, look, that there's not a ladder tall enough for you to climb your way to God. Maybe you've come in here trying to do that, and you need to realize today that you're a sinner. That you're lost and without hope. I'm lost and without hope. That I can't do this on my own. That even though I try over and over to change, I can't change on my own. I can't do it on my own. There's nothing within me that'll let me. But that God loves me so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth and be born and die on a cross and be raised for us. And that all that you have to do is to receive his gift of life. You don't have to work for it because you can't. You don't have to earn it because you can't. You just have to receive it. You say, how do I do that? Well, the Bible is clear in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I love that verse. It doesn't say might or maybe or hope or guess or think. It just says done. If you confess Jesus, you are who you say you are. You are God's son. And I believe that. And I believe you died and rose for me. And I want you in my life. God will save you right where you are. I know what some of you are thinking. There's somebody listening to me right now says, oh, really? It's not that easy because you don't know me. You don't know what I did last night. You don't know how I've treated my family. You don't know how I've walked out on people. Listen, there's nothing you can do that is too big for the blood of the cross. God can deliver you. You're not as hopeless as you think you are. Listen, you're only hopeless when you're relying on your own strength. When you trust in the strength of the Lord, he can save you right where you are. There's a passage found in Matthew chapter 19, and I won't go the whole story, but some of you will remember, we talked about it, Graham and I, in our series last month about the rich young ruler. And in Matthew 19, it tells about the rich young ruler and how he came to Jesus. And Jesus, you know, the guy walks away sad, if you remember. And Jesus makes the statement, he says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Anybody remember that? And the disciples look back at Jesus and go, well, how could anyone be saved then? And listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 19. When the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said to Jesus, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said, with people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Would you say that with me? But with God, all. Oh, no, say it like you mean it. But with God, all things. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, God wants to show up in your life today. And if you're here and you've never come into a relationship with God through Jesus, he wants to save you. He wants you to walk out of one of these doors different than you came in. It's what you've been looking for. It's what you've been searching for. And God wants to do it today in your life. If you're somebody who knows God, but you have run from him, and you've been doing everything you're big enough to do, God wants you to change today. He wants you to repent of your sin and come back to him. He wants you to do it his way and not yours because your way's not working so good. He wants you to do it his way. And today in this room, there are probably scores of people that feel like you're in an impossible situation. And God wants to tell you today, with God, all things are possible. And he wants you to lay it down in front of him today. And go out lighter than you came in.